الله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. As I was driving by, coming back from out of town right now, one of the things that occurred is that my contacts became very dry. And so they started lifting off the eye. And for you to see clearly through your contact lenses, they have to be lying, they have to be one moist, and they should be lying right against the eye. And so when they start getting lifting off and they don't have that same type of adhesion, the entire field actually becomes very blurry. It becomes very difficult to see the road or the signs or anything that's sort of in the environment. Eventually one got dry enough that I had to just take it out. It was too irritating. So not only was it very difficult to see, but it was also very painful. And the third aspect, that is also very dangerous. Can't see clearly, you can easily hit something or get into an accident. So similarly, if a person doesn't have clear vision in terms of their spiritual heart, in terms of their perspective in general with regards to life, if they don't see circumstances, occasions, different environments, different contexts, different occasions in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah, right? i.e. their vision is blurred, then there are the same detrimental effects. One is that it becomes very dangerous. And number two, that it's very painful. It becomes very painful. And one of the things that I noticed and I was grateful for is that 55 is a straight interstate. Right? There's not very many curves. And so even though if you can't see very carefully, by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we are on a straight road, it became much easier to at least stay out of harm's way. Right? You didn't have to be that careful. And you know you didn't have to take this exit or that exit. There's just one road and it's straight going to take you to where you had to go. You had to come back to St. Louis. So subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made a very straight road for us. That even though those people whose eyes might be veiled by the veil of sin, those people who don't have a clear vision, and we know that this is not something that we're just talking about in terms of metaphor, there is a sense of clear vision that exists for the mu'min. We've been told, احذروا فراسة المؤمن فإنه ينظر بنور الله. That be guard yourself, beware, right, of the firasa, the deep, keen insight of the true believer, of the true mu'min. فإنه ينظر بنور الله. For he sees by the light of God. Right? He sees by the light of Allah. So it's not something that we're just talking about. It's something real that when you are confronted with some type of situation, can you derive the lessons that need to be derived from that? When you're confronted with some type of situation, when you have some type of problem, can you see it for what it is? Right? What is an azab? What is a fitna? What is an imtihan? How should you interact with that situation? All of these are examples or things which become possible when one has clear sight. But I said that it becomes easy when you're on a straight road, even though if one's sight may not be so clear, right? Because of they don't have enough knowledge, or they don't have enough, because of the lack of clarity that arises from being away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or engaged in sinful activities. But if the person is on what we call, literally, what is it called? Right? Siratul Mustaqim, the straight path. Really amazing the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used. The fact that it's straight, it's not complicated, right? So if you want to be safe, just get on the road, right? Just don't get on a different highway, right? Fine, you might be a little bit slower getting there. You know, it might be a little bit more difficult getting there if you don't, you know, if your vision is blurred. But the fact of the matter is, if you're on the right road and you just drive, Right? Even if you're driving at 1 mile per hour, you'll get to your destination, inshallah. It takes a little bit longer, right? Because if you really can't see, then you just go very slowly, right? You might be driving 5 miles per hour. But the fact of the matter, you're on the right road. You're still relatively safe because there's no curves or no big turns that you need to make. And then you drive relatively slowly and you're on the right direction and you'll get to where you need to. So similarly, a person, that's why every time when you ask in Salah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us along the straight path. The guidance is of two ways. One way is a person, he actually just shows you on a map that this is how you get from this point to that point. That's also called hidayah in Arabic. But a different type of hidayah is what we call tawfiq, where a person literally says, you know what, I'm actually going from point A to point B. Here, you sit in the car, get out of the way, I'm going to get in the driver's seat and I'll take you there. That's also in Arabic, that would fall under the purview of hidayah. So we ask from that tawfiq, right, that not only do we want to be on the right path, not only do we want the right directions, but we also want, you know, someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would be in the driver's seat to take us along that path, to give us the ability and the guidance that we need to have our feet firmly set on this path and take us to where we need to go. But while you're on the path, right, when you're traveling this path, it's very easy to lose clarity of vision. But the more the clarity of vision develops, one of the other things I noticed that, you know, if you sort of push your contact against your eye and try to make it sit flat, and then you open your eyes and you see everything clearly for maybe a few seconds, then the whole world looks beautiful. Right, because you can see it clearly. Everything that was blurry, anything that could not clearly be envisioned otherwise, now it becomes so clear. And you say, SubhanAllah, what a beautiful world there is around me. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hadn't given us vision, right? And this all I could see in the world was shadows, right? Now, and then for a few moments you can see green. For a few moments you can see things beautiful, which are for the beauty that exists in the world around us. So the fact of the matter is, when you're traveling on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this clarity of vision that's required, then we're able to find beauty in everything along the way. One thing is you're traveling the path. Now when you take on a very long road, you know, a person has to be somewhat patient, right? You're sitting in the car for 5 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, 12 hours on end. Even if you're reading Quran or you're doing something else, it still requires a certain degree of patience, because no matter what, you can't drive from a path fast. Even if you're driving the car at 140 miles per hour, right? It's still going to take so many hours to get there. You can't shorten that period of time. That's a limiting reagent in that reaction. You have to sort of give the due of the road, right? Give the due of the travel path. But one of the things that you can do, right, even though you can't make the trip necessarily short, is that you can enjoy the ride, right? And one of the ways that you enjoy the ride is being able to see everything around you clearly. Similarly, when you're traveling the spiritual path, traveling the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim, traveling on the straight path, following the Quran and the Sunnah, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's hard, right? Every day is a struggle, every day is a mujahada against our own nafs, against the dunya, against the fitna that exists in the world outside. And so, you know, that's something that you just gotta deal with, right? You just can't wish it away. And there's different trials, different tribulations that come while you're traveling this path, but the one thing that you can do, right, to make that journey a little bit more enjoyable, is that if you have clear sight, then you can enjoy the ride. So what do I mean by that? I'll give you one example. So I think last week here in St. Louis we were having a lot of rain, right? And even on the weekends it was raining. So people who work hard all week, and even students who study hard all week, they wait for the weekend to come and they say, we're going to have a good time, right? We hope the weather is good. And then when it starts raining and it's gloomy and you can't do anything outside and you gotta sit at home, actually that's actually a blessing. But you know, some people feel really down and depressed. They're like, oh, everything is down, the sky is gloomy. And they themselves start feeling gloomy. And when you have 2, 3, 4, 5 days without any type of sunlight, then people really get sort of, you know, annoyed, right? And they're always getting wet and they don't like to get wet and they don't like their, you know, umbrellas, or having an umbrella and open when they're going out, and everything is inconvenient and getting muddy and dirty, and people just sort of feel very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable in the rain. So while it was one of these weekends where it was raining a lot, a student, he texted me that, there's a beautiful rainbow outside. Why don't you take a look at it? So I was too busy to take a look at the rainbow, but my wife did have my kids go and take a look, right? See if they could see the rainbow. But then I said, SubhanAllah, there's so many lessons in that, right? We're talking about clear vision, right? So a person who has blurry vision in the deen, when he looks at the rain, right, all he sees is that it's gloomy and it's depressing. But the person who has clear vision, he looks out and he starts looking for the rainbow. Right? No matter where it's raining in your life, which department, whether it's in your studies or in your family life or in terms of how you're interacting with your kids, how you're interacting with your job or your boss, wherever it's raining, you need to look for the rainbow. And anyone who's ever looked for a rainbow before, they'll know that you have to look pretty hard. You gotta be looking for it, right? If you're just concentrating on and mad about the fact that it's raining, you're gonna miss the rainbow, right? If you wanna see a thing of beauty, if you wanna see the rainbow, it's a thing which is subtle, so you have to look subtly. You have to look hard. The fact of the matter is, any time that the world around us, or things aren't, as they say in this country, are going south and aren't going our way, there is a rainbow in it. Things on the surface are ostensibly good or bad. But we know from the Quran, تُعِزُ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ, that you give izzah to whom you will, you give respect and honor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates others. وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ, right? And you disgrace, right? You level others. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ, but in His hand is only good. So what happens is that, not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a physical hand like our hand, but in Allah only, and His hand is only good. And so what we understand and what we know from this is that though things on the surface may seem like there is some type of difficulty in it, right, that it's not favorable, if you look harder, in Allah's hand is only good. There will be some type of, in this country they talk about silver lining. Every cloud has a silver lining. There's no silver lining on the cloud. The cloud itself is silver. Right? There is rahm, even in any type of difficulty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends upon us, there is rahmah in that. Right? It's just a person has to be, there is a ni'mah in that, there's a blessing in that. It was a mashayikh of the past, they said, when you're in hard times, what is there to do? Patience. Even the alley dog can be patient, because you don't have a choice, right? Something's not going your way, it's just not going away. You're late to work and there's accident, you're going to be in another half an hour late, or you're not getting the rotation you want, or whatever the case may be. There's nothing you can really do about it. You have to be patient, right? Even the alley dog can be patient. Right, but it's befitting of a slave of God that they should be, a slave of Allah that they should be thankful. Right? That they should be thankful. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, when he used to have some type of difficulty, for example, if he were sick, and the sickness was, extremely intense, he would not make the dua, "Oh Allah, please remove this sickness from me." Right? He didn't see that as an affliction. The dua that he made, and it gives you a really deep insight into his psychology, right? Of the psychology of the awliya Allah, right? The psychology of the friends of Allah, how they think about things, right? This is what we call a clear vision. He said, "Ya Allah, remove this ni'mah and replace it with another." Right? So if something bad was happening, remove this ni'mah, remove this blessing, and replace it with another. Right? Because in everything there is blessing. Perhaps we don't have an appreciation of being able to really see what the blessing is, but there is a blessing. And the clearer sight that one has, they're able to see blessing in everything. It's like, and eventually if your sight becomes really good, then you get binoculars. Right? You get binoculars, you get a microscopic, telescopic vision. So no matter what you're looking at, you're able to take lessons, you're able to find no khair in that. So for example, this rainbow that we're talking about, even in the rainbow, there's lessons, right? You look at it with clear vision. First of all, when it's raining, usually when does the rainbow come out? Not when it's pouring hard, right? But generally after the rain goes away. So then you're reminded of the ayah of the Quran, Inna ma'al usri yusra, that with every hardship there is ease. And then you really, if you think about it, you know, people credit Einstein with discovering relativity. But, you know, sociologically speaking, relativity is something which was understood well before that. If everyone in the room, right, had the same size house, everyone in the world had the same size house, right, and even if that house was 10,000 square feet, then no one would, people would still would not feel rich, right? Your house has to be twice the house size of the house of your neighbor, then you say that, oh, I have something. So you take a country in which no one has anything, and that person, for example, and one person in that country has 10 times what everyone else. He feels like I'm the richest person, right? Because everyone has less than him, right? Or if a person, he's in a class of all smart people, right? And everyone's getting A's, and he ends up getting a D, right? But even though he's going to some private school, and he's smarter than 95% of the people out there, he starts getting down on himself. He says, man, I'm a loser, I'm no good at anything, I'll never amount to anything in my life. So everything is like relative, right? Everything is relative. So if you really think about relativity in the most abstract terms, can you really understand what happiness meant or happiness means if you've never experienced sorrow? Right? Can you really imagine, can you really appreciate what peace means if you never really had any hard times? Can you really understand what, you know, clarity means if you didn't understand, if you hadn't undergone a period of confusion at some time in your life? If there wasn't any rain, right, then there wouldn't be, you can't really fully appreciate the rainbow, right? And you can't fully appreciate the sun when it comes out afterwards, right? It was rainy, 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 and then the sun comes out, then your heart jumps for joy, right? But then when the sun has been shining for 10 days in a row, then you say, oh yeah, the sun is shining, you take it for granted. Right? But when sometimes something is removed from you and then is given back for you, then you develop an appreciation for that. There's a lesson in that. Lesson number two. So for example, there's a rainy sky. No matter how hard it's raining, how long is it going to rain? How long is it going to rain? It'll rain a day, two, at the most it'll rain a week. But after that, then the clothes have to go somewhere, right? They're going to go away and then the sun will come out. So similarly, in our life, we should look at our entire life, that even if our entire life was just a rainy day, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep the sun shining on us forever in the akhirah, in the hereafter. Right? No matter how hard things get, no matter how much things seem that they're not going our way, we should just remind ourselves that it can't rain forever. It can't rain forever. Right? The sun will come out. Right? Either it's going to come out in this life, that's great if it does, alhamdulillah. And even if it doesn't, it's just the blink of an eye, it's a couple of days of rain, and summer is around the corner. And our summer is in Jannah. Our summer is in Jannah. So, the big broad thing that, I want a sort of like take-home message, right? Take-home message. So, is that a couple of things. One, that there's rahmah in everything, right? There's rahmah in everything. And so it behooves the believer to look for that salul rahman in things that afflict them. There's one exception to that rule. And that's for when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts someone with, even in that there's rahmah, really, if you look at it. But when a person sins, and because of the evil they sow with their own hands, something bad happens to them, then they can't blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal for that. Right? They can't blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. That's something that they've done with their own hand. But that type of punishment that comes back, even in that there's rahmah. Because look, if someone is messing up, and no one's there to, hey, stop. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives you some type of punishment, it's also a reminder to yourself, hey, stop. Right? Stop doing that. Right? Come around. And then that awakens us. So even in the punishment for something that we did wrong, from Allah's perspective, there's rahmah. Right? And, well, another lesson comes to mind. I'll share another lesson. So when it's raining hard, right, subhanAllah, there's just, in every small thing, there's so much, hikmah, that when it rains, someone gets wet, right? And after the rain goes away, then inevitably they dry up, right? They dry up in such a way that sometimes there's no even trace that there was any rain on your body, that you were ever wet. You feel very comfortable. In the same way, that any type of difficulty that we go into through in this life, if the person who had the most amount of difficulty in this world, take the, even the woman who had gone wrongfully raped, or the child that was wrongfully abused, you take no matter how high and how difficult the trial or tribulation is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take that and will take that individual and just dip them in the pleasure of Jannah and then ask them that, have you had any difficulty in your life? And that person will say, by Allah, right? And that person will say, I've never had, even tasted any difficulty in my life. And 1 second of Jannah is enough to wipe everything out, right? Such that there's no trace even left. And no matter, right? And you similarly, you take someone who's been dry, right, dry for, you know, 15 years, and then you put him in the rain, right? In 1 second, it doesn't matter how dry he was for those 15 years, he'll get wet, right? So a person who lived it up in the dunya, right, you take that person, just dip him in Jahannam. He had all the money in the world, all the women, everything that he wanted. And he said, have you had any pleasure in the world? By Allah, I've never tasted any pleasure. Right, that 1 second in Jahannam is enough to efface from one's memory, right, all the pleasure that one person had in this ephemeral life. There's more things that, another thing had come to mind, but you know, we'll save that perhaps for another day. So, big broad concepts, try to find the rahmah in everything. Understand that after hardship, there is ease. Understand that no matter how bad things get, that difficulties are by their nature temporary. And if we interact with those difficulties in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will, inshallah, reward us with a Jannah, with a summer that will last forever, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are happy with His decree and content with all that He wills, and make us amongst those who are able to bask in the radiance of Jannah forever and ever in the eternal gardens of paradise. وَأَخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ